This is Miss Bliss, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you are listening to Tales from the Tub. It's the Dog Days of Podcasting, and this is my episode for August 20th, 2015. This is something I wrote in 2005. It's called Blood Sisters. It's been on my mind because my mother just got back from a visit with her childhood friend, who is the mother of my childhood best friend, and the daughter of my grandmother's best friend. Blood Sisters. Flipping through books of photographs that are so old the colors are no longer true, I come across a stack of pictures from the summer of 1976. One, in particular, leaps out at me, an image of two little girls with matching red t-shirts holding hands on a lush green lawn in front of a red house. Both are smiling, but not at the person with the camera. Instead, they're holding in laughter about whatever thing they found amusing in the instant before the camera clicked. I close my eyes and let memory carry me back to that day. I was in braids and her hair was in a bun, and both of us were still damp from the pool. On the deck, beyond the corner of the house, our grandmothers were gabbing over iced tea, their voices rising and falling as their conversation ebbed and flowed. If we'd been able to see them from where we were standing, we'd have noticed that they both had graying black hair and glossy black bathing suits, the kind with skirts that covered the upper thigh. They were equally tan, strong, and vital, and even though my grandmother was a good 10 years older than hers, they both seemed ageless, the way beloved relatives so often do. We'd been born into our friendship. Our grandmothers had first met when their own daughters were small children, had lived in the same coastal town in New Jersey. Our mothers hadn't gone to school together, but had grown up together even so, continuing the tradition of friendship that had already been expanded by their older sisters. By the time she and I were born, our families were intertwined in every way but blood. We kept close at each other's houses, knew each other's friends, and even our dogs were from the same litter. Summers in New Jersey were idyllic when I was 6 and she was 5. Time seemed endless then, and days were filled with trips to the shore or to someone's backyard pool, with a stop for soft ice cream on the way home, and a healthy hour of chasing fireflies in the balmy twilight before being called in for a bath and bed. But the day of that picture had been a special one, even so, because that day, we'd become blood sisters. In truth, I don't remember my mother pricking our thumbs, because, she says, we were too afraid to do it ourselves, or the act of us jamming our bleeding digits together, letting our blood commingle, but I remember that we had heard the story of our own mothers taking a blood oath, and we insisted that we needed to do so as well. I'm told we both cried, but I don't think it was from physical pain as much as the unconscious realization that we wouldn't always be together. When I was 9 and she was 8, we took a rubber raft out past the ropes and buoys that marked the safe swimming distance and almost didn't make it back to the beach because the current was so strong. Had we known then that that stretch of Atlantic coast is rife with juvenile white sharks, we'd probably have been terrified. But we didn't, so we kicked our way back to shore in tired bliss with no understanding of why we were greeted with frowns and stern voices. When she was 10 and I was 11, we stretched out on top of her bed in a room lit only by moonlight and fingerspelled the names of boys we liked into each other's hands, and wondered what it would be like to kiss them, and then wrinkled our noses at the very idea. A year later, I would know, and she would not, and it would be the first time one of us left the other behind. Feeling wistful, I leafed through the stack of photos and then through the box I'd drawn them from, searching for other images of the two of us. I find one of us as teenagers, in college sweatshirts and designer jeans, both of us with bad perms and too much makeup. I'd stopped spending the summers in New Jersey by then, and we'd begun to lose touch. Even though they're sitting on the same couch in the picture, there's a gap between us, visual representation of the way our friendship had drifted. 5 years later, we meet as young adults and spend an evening in a crowded mall attempting to reconnect. We sip fruit drinks and make fun of the window displays and talk about anything but our lives, our dreams, our hopes for the future. 6 months after that, back in New Jersey for my grandfather's funeral, I don't even find the time to call her and say hello. I stare at the second picture, almost tear it in half, then stop myself and toss it back in the box. I don't like looking at it, but I don't want to part with it either. I count the years. 13 since we've seen each other, 6 since we've communicated in any other fashion than a message sent through her aunt. Tell her I said hi, or send my love. There's a twinge of pain in my thumb, and I stare at it, expecting a paper cut. There isn't one, but for a second, I can almost feel a pinprick. Thoughtfully, I put the pictures back in the box, pushed the box back onto the top shelf in the guest room behind my mother's ice skates and next to the urn with my grandparents' ashes. The picture of the two of us holding hands remains on the bed, and I bring it with me as I leave the room, walk back to my office. I stare at the sky beyond my window, but I don't really see it. Then I log into my email program and send a note to her aunt. Half an hour later, the reply comes, the email address I asked for, and the message, "I know she'd love to hear from you." I start another message. I haven't sent it yet, but I know she'll understand it when she reads it, because we were born into our friendship, and our blood runs in each other's veins. It begins, "So, I was looking through old photos." The Bathtub Mermaid is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Music for this episode was provided by Mebio's Music Alley, a great resource for PodSafe music. Visit them at music.mebio.com. The opening song is Soap in a Bathtub by Stony. The closing song is You Can Use My Bathtub by Little Tom. The Bathtub Mermaid is produced and recorded using Boss Jock and Audacity. You can contact me by leaving a comment at the website, www.bathtubmermaid.com, by finding me on Twitter, at Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or by sending an email to Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, at starfleet.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold. Deep inside. And still it shows. But you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub. Yes, you can.